listening to Awakened to Deliver, a podcast from Awakened Bible Ministries, created to inspire believers to wake up to God's truth and live boldly for Christ. Today, Jeff Fish continues this week's journey through the gift of prophecy by comparing the role of Old Testament prophets with the New Testament gift of prophecy. You'll learn why the shift from judgment to encouragement matters, and how God is raising up prophetic voices today to edify, not condemn. Our key verse for today is Acts chapter 2, verse 17. "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy." Now, let's join Jeff for today's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Awaken to Deliver. So far this week, we have explored what prophecy is and how hearing God's voice is the foundation of prophetic ministry. But today, we are going to confront a major source of confusion that has tripped up many believers. What is the difference between Old Testament prophets and the New Testament gift of prophecy? Because if you don't understand the difference, you are going to misapply the gift. You're going to prophesy from a place of fear or religious control or spiritual pride, when the gift was meant to flow from love, grace, and relationship with Jesus. So with that being said, let's dive in. First, we need to recognize this. The prophetic has always been a part of God's plan. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, God is a God who speaks. He spoke creation into being. He spoke to Abraham, to Moses, to the prophets of old, and when Israel rebelled, he raised up men and women who would stand in the gap and declare his word, often at great personal cost. Old Testament prophets were not just messengers, they were covenant enforcers. That's important to understand. They stood between a holy God and a rebellious people and said, "This is what the Lord says. Return to him, or judgment is coming." You see this all throughout Scripture. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Micah. All of them were called to speak hard truths to the kings, priests, and nations. They carried heavy burdens. They were often hated, rejected, beaten, imprisoned, even killed. Why? Because they dared to speak what others refused to hear. Their words weren't just encouragement, they were correction, confrontation, and calls to repentance. And when the people didn't listen, judgment followed. But here's the key: they were speaking under the old covenant. They were operating in a time when the law of Moses was in effect, when Israel's relationship with God was conditional on obedience to the law. Blessings for obedience, curses for rebellion. And the prophets were raised up to remind the people of that covenant and to warn them of the consequences of breaking it. But then everything changed. Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. He established a new covenant, not based on law, but on grace, not written on tablets of stone, but written on our hearts by the Spirit of God. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the prophetic didn't disappear. It was multiplied. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy." That's Peter quoting the prophet Joel, declaring that the outpouring of the Spirit had begun, and with it, the gift of prophecy was being released to all believers, not just a chosen few. In the Old Testament, prophets were often the only way God communicated with his people. The Spirit would come upon them for a moment in time to declare his word. But in the New Testament, every believer has access to the Holy Spirit. Every believer can hear God. Every believer can be used for prophecy. That's a massive shift. It's no longer just one man crying out in the wilderness. It's a body, a community, carrying the voice of God together. But that also means the role of the prophet has changed. The prophetic office still exists. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 makes that clear. But New Testament prophecy functions differently. Now let me break this down. In the Old Testament, the prophets spoke with absolute authority. They often delivered national or covenantal warnings. They prophesied judgment, exile, and restoration, and they were the primary mouthpiece of God to the people. In the New Testament prophecy, it must be tested and weighed by Scripture. It is available to all believers. It is meant for edification, exhortation, and consolation. It is subject to the authority of Scripture and the leadership of the local church. In the Old Testament, you didn't question the prophet. You either obeyed or you suffered the consequences. But in the New Testament, Paul says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others pass judgment. Why? Because now we all have the Holy Spirit. We all have a responsibility to discern. This also means that the New Covenant prophecy is not infallible. It's still inspired by the Spirit, but it flows through human vessels. That's why Paul says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. In other words, nobody has the full picture. That's why we test every word. That's why we submit to Scripture. That's why we seek confirmation and walk in humility. And this ties into another major distinction, tone and purpose. Old Testament prophecy often carried the tone of impending judgment. Repent or perish. Woe to you. Destruction is coming. But New Testament prophecy carries the tone of a father's heart. It's still serious. It's holy. But it's delivered in love. It's anchored in grace. It points to Jesus, not to punishment. Now let me be clear. New Testament prophecy can still be confrontational. It can still call people to repentance. It can still expose sin, but it does so not to destroy, but to redeem, not to shame, but to restore. Think of how Jesus dealt with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He operated prophetically, revealing her past, her hidden shame, but he didn't condemn her. He drew her in. He offered her living water. And she ran back to her village, proclaiming, come see a man who told me everything that I have done. That's the model. Jesus operated in perfect prophetic authority, but always in love. This reminds me of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 through 25. He describes a scenario where an unbeliever walks into a gathering where the prophetic is active. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. That's what prophecy is supposed to do in the New Testament church. Not just impress, not just inform, but reveal God. Draw people to Jesus. Cause them to fall on their face and say, surely God is in this place. Now let me take you to another example. Agabus in Acts chapter 21. He's a New Testament prophet who accurately predicts that Paul will be bound and delivered over to the Gentiles. But even then, his word is descriptive, not prescriptive. He doesn't command Paul to avoid Jerusalem. He simply reveals what's coming. Paul still goes, led by the Spirit. That's another important shift. Old Testament prophets often directed people's steps. New Testament prophecy confirms, reveals, and encourages obedience, but it doesn't replace personal relationship with God. That's why you need to be careful not to become dependent on prophets for guidance. Prophets can confirm. They can speak into your life, but they don't take the place of the Holy Spirit. If you're always running to someone else to hear God for you, you're in danger of spiritual immaturity or manipulation. Jesus tore the veil for a reason, so that you could come boldly to the throne of grace, so that you could hear the voice of your shepherd. Now, as we prepare to close this episode, I want to speak to two types of people. First, to the one who's afraid of prophecy because you've only seen it abused. Maybe you were in a church where it was used to manipulate, to control, or to shame people. Maybe someone gave you a word that left you confused, wounded, or fearful. Let me say this clearly. That was not the heart of God. Don't throw away the gift just because someone misused it. Return to the Word. Let God redeem the prophetic in your life, because when it's done God's way, it is powerful, beautiful, and life-giving. And second, to the one who desires to operate in prophecy, but has felt pressure to be like the prophets of old, thundering judgment, shouting doom, calling out sin publicly to prove you're anointed. Let me remind you, the goal of New Testament prophecy is not intimidation. It's revelation. It's restoration. It's to build up the church, not to tear it down. You don't have to yell to be prophetic. You don't have to predict disasters to be Spirit-filled. You just need to hear His voice and speak His heart with love, with truth, and with humility. So what's the takeaway? Old Testament prophets pointed forward to Jesus. New Testament prophets flow from Jesus. Old Testament prophets warned of judgment. New Testament prophets call people into grace. Old Testament prophets were few. New Testament prophecy is for the whole church. We are living in the last days. The Spirit has been poured out, and God is raising up prophetic voices, not to condemn the world, but to call it home. So as we walk in this gift, let's do it with clarity, with love, and with a deep understanding of the covenant that we now live under. Now tomorrow, we'll talk about the purpose and power of prophetic words and how to recognize when a word is truly from the Lord. So until next time, stay faithful, stay bold, and remember that you too have been awakened to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Awakened to Deliver. We hope today's message has encouraged and equipped you in your walk with Christ. To stay connected and explore more content like this, visit the link tree in the podcast description. There you'll find access to all of Awakened Ministries socials, as well as a link to Jeff's book, 30 Days of Patience. If this podcast has blessed you, consider leaving a rating and review. It helps others discover this message of faith and encouragement. Awakened to Deliver is entirely listener-supported. If you feel led to partner with this ministry, you can give a one-time donation through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal, or become a monthly partner through one of the tiers on Patreon. All giving options are available through the link tree. Your support helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow as we continue diving into God's Word together.